Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So glad you joined us in the extra hour. Joining me is the producer of VFN Radio Program, Pat.
Hello.
And the one, the only one, John Paul.
Hello.
What's up, John Paul?
What's up, what's up?
Just in case you want to know, it is John Paul. Mm-hmm. It is John Paul. We're not making that up.
Nope, John Paul.
It's John Paul. It was going to be Matthew, Mark, Luke, John Paul.
But we just settled for John Paul.
Right? Yeah. But here we are. I don't know if you... I'm looking at one of the top articles right now on the VFN Torch. I'm just blown away.
Are you?
Why would that be the top article?
I don't know.
But it says, you know, John falls and hits his head. Hits the ground. Hits the ground. What that? Oh, that was when the
trust.
Can you
trust
believe that they? The most awesome thing was you got back up.
Oh my goodness!
You got back up and you did it again.
There's no video of it.
Is there? There a video of it?
No. There's no video of it.
Are you sure?
Sure.
I think we can find that. I don't think you can hit the ground today. I think it'd be a little bit different.
Oh,
hit the ground today.
I don't know if I can get back up if I hit the ground today.
I can't wait till we get a chance to incorporate some of the corporate challenges and some of the things that we're going to be doing. And, but a trust fall.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the depends will pat him.
Oh,
if he was to hit or anything like that.
Yeah. There's so many of them. He just bounced right off. It just boom.
Yeah. Cush. It was like cush.
He's like, that didn't hurt. That was that bad. Yeah. That wasn't that bad.
No, he probably got to keep them together. Got to keep them together, man. He's working out for a reason. Got to hold that together, man. Like saran wrap. Gotta keep that stuff together, right?
That's right.
I'm thinking about keeping my stuff together. Hey, so if you missed the first hour, you can listen to it now.
Yeah.
All the different ways you can listen to it. And you can find out more at VFNTV.com. But about faith, we got a chance to really talk about faith again. And we want to just really soak in that. And make sure every day you get your daily dose of faith so that you can please God. I mean, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Impossible.
And there's so many things. I mean, it's dangerous to watch the news without having faith is to almost assure the fact that you might not have faith.
That's right.
Because they don't know what they're talking about. And
they're reading it.
Reading a prompter. If you don't believe so, that they put the wrong names in for the flight that crashed in California, and they just read these names, and the names were just very inappropriate.
Right.
And some people even it's just inappropriate, and they just read what's next.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike us, but we write our own script, right?
That's right.
We write our own script. Vest. Did you just say vest? Was that vest?
Yeah.
It's not vest.
It was.
You know he did it again.
Verse. Did he say it?
Oh yeah.
Verse.
I'm like,
you ever heard that? You verse somebody? Verse?
No.
You heard that?
No, not
it
that.
Must be my own.
Not in that sense. No.
No, not in that sense. Okay.
It's like, oh my gosh, he could go on CNN now.
He's back.
Yeah,
he's got
right. I want to talk about waiting, and it's something that we don't like to do until there's something. For example, if you're going to have to go into an arena for a bullfight, and somebody says you need to wait here, somebody
right.
goes,
no
"Okay,
problem.
Hey, I'll wait here, right?" But you know, waiting on the Lord is such an important thing, and waiting is not the point necessarily where you're just sitting there doing nothing, but it's when God tells you something and gives you something, and you're getting this direction, this leading from God, whether it's for your ministry, your family, your business, your nation, whatever it is, and you have to just ponder that, kind of like going through the four phases we talked about in incubating your faith yesterday. And and you need to learn how to wait. And waiting reveals so much. Because waiting reveals your heart to you, but also your heart to others and others' hearts to you. And it just, all the motives surface in your life and all the motives surface in others' lives. And it's so important that if the motives have not yet surfaced, it's good to wait until they do. If you're, for example, if you are a, and I'll give a shout out to Steve this morning. He just did a great job on VFN Radio, man. And I just really was very encouraged by your time on VFN Radio and look forward to you being back on. But when you think about, because he's a Marine, that's why I'm talking about it, that if you have a troop of Marines that's going to go somewhere, you need to be able to know their heart and the motives of their hearts, because you're fixing to fight a battle that you're going to need them to stand with you. And when they say, I'm going to cover you, and they say that I'm going to back you up, and then I'm going to, you know, and the biggest thing about the soldiers and what they learn is they don't necessarily fight the microcosm of the concept of what they do. They don't fight necessarily for a cause. They don't fight for a some big political strategy. They fight for each other. And they defend each other, and no man left behind. And so they do what you got to do in the context of everybody coming home. That's right. Their goal. And so it's important then to know that, hey, are you going to fight? You know, are you going to fight the good fight of faith? Are you going to stand? Do you understand what's going on? And so waiting helps reveal all those things. And one thing that waiting does, waiting reveals three different kinds of motives amongst others. One is whether the motives are satanic or they're Satan's motives, you know, such as self-exalting, what others think of you, how it will look in men's eyes, double-mindedness, impatience, willing to do it if I, and you fill in the blank, right. Pride, more highly of one's self to the point of possible gains involved in it happening or recognitioning happening. And so that self-exaltation type thing. I got to get my name in lights. I want to be a part of this. And waiting will reveal that, because waiting kind of takes away all that self-glory. You know, it just kind of lets all that go. And somebody says, well, how long do I have to wait? And it's like, we're in the microwave generation that we can send a text message and it goes around the world in 6 seconds, and we get impatient. When you look at Abraham was 80 years old. Well, Moses was 80 years old.
Wow.
Right? It was like it was Abraham. Abraham was 90 years old. Sarah was 90.
Right. Abraham was 99.
Abraham was 99. And that's a pretty good wait.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good wait. You know, Moses did 40 on the backside to do 40 on the front side.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the timing, it's just
God's
relax.
Not in a hurry, is he?
He is not in a hurry. And quite often, maybe if we could die to ourselves sooner, we could probably use this sooner. But it just takes a lot. And I love the way that a friend of mine would always say, he said, you know, when I first started in ministry, I had a lot of answers and very few questions. And he said, now that I've been in a while, he says, I have a lot of questions and very few answers, but I would die for those answers.
All right.
And as you move along, you just grow in wisdom. You know, I'm hoping to that soon we'll have what's called, it's not going to be the line of debarkation, but it's going to be a time that lines are drawn, because everything we say is one linear experience, because it's all out there. And even since we've launched in VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, I've grown in wisdom. I've been able to see things differently. God has opened my eyes more, and I'll be the first to admit that. And so what we'll have in some way, at some point, you'll be able to go and click on a part of the menu that shows a line of demarcation, something that from this point on that we begin to think differently. I think about the believers who were ministering in the book of Acts. They talk about them. I think it was Alexander was ministering in the name of Jesus, and you know, and it was a successful ministry, I would assume. But they needed to know some more, and so they said, the Word of God says. So they explained things more thoroughly to him, and he received it. Peter is preaching to Cornelius' house, bringing them what he knows, only finding out that he didn't know hardly anything at all, because in the middle of while he was talking, God was moving, and these Gentiles got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which changed his doctrine that he could, you know, at that one moment, and he's, you know, obviously we read about it because he wrote about it. He shared it. And you have to be open to that. You have to be open to, and so I think what's really important is that you'll be able to go to a place on the VFN Torch, and you can get to it at VFNTV.com, and we'll just draw a line. You know, if it happens, you know, three times in one day, we'll draw a line. No, we'll draw a line because we just want it. We want to be on this whole journey. I mean, you look at the faith journey with Abraham, which his first name was Abram. And at some point, he would have had to draw a line and says, oh, it's Abraham now. I know that I call myself Abram, but God has spoken to me. But there's quite a few lines, you know, that he would have said in the process of his journey, he would have said that, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, that if your wife cannot fulfill by having a child, that you're supposed to sleep with your maid, Hagar.
Her maidservant.
And then that's how you're going to have the inheritance. Mm. And he would have said that. He did it, you know. And then when all of a sudden God comes through, not in his timing, but in his time, he realizes, you know, this is a mistake.
It was a rut-row line.
You know, but the thing is that it's written about it. God did not erase that journey, because this is our journey. We learn as we go.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I love everything out there, because, you know, there's just learn. And we had to have the past experience to understand our present experience. Mm-hmm. And we're not becoming more and more saved, that God's becoming more and more revealed to us. And in the context of that, Isaac was born. And, then he had two sons now, one that was based on his old way of thinking that his wife kind of brought to him, but kind of forgot that she's the one that brought it up and was dogging him out about it. But God stepped in and made a way for the whole lineage of what was birthed under that original revelation. He didn't just do away with it. Right. He said, I'm going to make a great nation. And so, but as things go deeper and God's more revealing himself to us, he'll do a deeper work. He'll do a bigger work. And so we want to kind of make that available to you and be able to look for that. But understanding that it's in the waiting. When you're waiting, it reveals things to you. God reveals himself to you, and you learn more about God. Think about it. When God took Israel through the wilderness, you know, it's probably about 11-day journey, 40-day journey, I guess it would be. You know, I heard a couple different aspects of that. But he did it so he could reveal. He wanted them to wait in the wilderness so that their hearts would be revealed to them. And it did. I mean, obviously, the first generation's heart was not that good. So they died out there without a Walmart. And then the next generation came in. But even they had a few issues about going into the land as well. But in the context of that, so that was a waiting time. And God was revealing himself continually with manna and fire and the tent of meetings and provision and, you know, sin and healing and deliverance and all these things are taking place. Water from a rock, you know, all these different things are taking place. And people are moving their motives, or have a chance to move their motives off of self and put them on God. And obviously Moses did that, as God described to him as the most humble man on the face of the earth. I mean, he understood, you know, that wasn't his goal, was not Satan's goal.
Right.
And the next particular motive of the three that waiting reveals is our self, flesh. Now, Satan's goal is about self-exaltation. Although your flesh benefits from his lies, that in his projection of it, but it's about self-exaltation. It's about idolatry. It's about impatience. It's about I'm willing if I type thing. Now, the second one, it reveals, waiting reveals, you know, self. Flesh reveals survival. You know, do I want to survive? The fear of loss, or the fear of failure. You know, those type of things where you have personal things that happen to you. The fear of lack, fear itself, fear of rejection. You know, what if I go to Nazareth and present my business idea or go to Nazareth and preach the gospel and they don't respond, what's that going to do to me? The person, this particular aspect it reveals to us is that it's not somebody wanting themselves to be exalted. They're wanting themselves to be spared pain, lack, rejection, you know, personal damage. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not willing to suffer. They're going to spare suffrage in their life.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, obviously pride, self-awareness. Right. Double-mindedness. It reveals double-mindedness where Satan's plans says, I'm willing if I get this, get that, get my name up in lights or whatever. Now, this flesh aspect that it reveals in this aspect of it, I'm willing if I don't fail. I'm willing if I don't lack. I'm willing if I am not rejected. You know, I'm willing if I survive, you know, that type of thing.
Right. If it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I'm willing if there's no pain involved in it.
Right.
And so the pride involved in this aspect that waiting reveals is thinking about oneself, weaknesses or strengths, because you can look at your strengths and say, you know, I can, if you're thinking about lifting weights and, you know, Pat lifts weights, I heard, and depends.
It depends.
And you can lift 100 pounds, for example. And, but then you're looking to say, I got a strength. I can lift 100 pounds. But then God's calling you or this business adventure that you're feeling like God's leading you in is a 200-pound adventure. It's a 200-pound ministry, for example. Mm-hmm. So you're actually looking at your strength. Mm-hmm. You're counting your men as David did. Mm. You're counting your money. You're counting your resources. You're counting that and trying to figure out if you got enough whatever to be able to do what God's called you to do. And this is self. This is we'll be focusing on ourself. And that's another thing that waiting reveals. Because if you wait long enough, the first thing is that the whole thing is like Satan's whole thing's out the door. Mm-hmm. When all of a sudden it's like, there's not even a Walmart out here in the desert. So I'm not going to get my names up on no marquee nowhere, you know, right. And I'm on the backside tending sheep right here and that type of thing. And so, and the last thing that's revealed, and this is what you want, and this is why you need to wait on the Lord. And waiting is like a waiter. You're abiding with God. You're being faithful in the mundane things. You're loving God, loving others, and leading others to the same. But we're talking about something that God is moving you to be able to release. And understand this is happening not only with you to others, you to yourself, and others to you. And you to others, but it's actually showing you who's in your troops, who's going. Like the disciples, Jesus said, when everybody wasn't in Jesus' troops, and they started leaving, he goes, you know, the disciples looked at him and said, listen, you know, they're all going.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you know, what about you?
Yeah.
You know, is your motive satanic? Is your motive self? Or this last one, is your motive the Spirit of God? Is the leading? Because those are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And with that, we have peace. We have just the peace of God that passes all understanding. Listen, when we were moving in selfish pride, it was all about understanding. Mm-hmm. Give me some more. I got to understand. If you tell, I got to just explain it to him. Give me, you know, it's like, okay, that's you. You're trying to figure out where you're going to either get recognition or whether you're going to fail or not.
Be spared. Yeah.
Be spared or not. I mean, there's something about, you know, doing something to self. But when you have this peace, it just doesn't matter. It just does, you have this peace that God is with you. This is the leading. You're no longer double-minded, but you're single-minded in regards to what you're doing and where you're going. You just have a peace about it. You're self-sacrificing at this point. You're willing to lay down your life for it because you totally know it's God. And you know whether Nazareth responds or not, God's calling you there. And so you just do what God's called you to do, what you're leading to do. And you're willing versus, remember, the first satanic idolatry was, I'm willing if I get promoted, get recognition. The second is self, I'm willing if I don't get hurt, that type of thing. But the being spirit-led is, I'm willing for him and him alone. Mm. I'm just willing. Mm-hmm. I'm a willing. You know, God's not looking for golden vessels. He's looking for willing vessels. And I'm just willing. And the thing about it is, if you're not willing yet, mm-hmm. you haven't waited long enough. Mm. Don't panic, because God's not in a hurry. And if those around you are not willing yet, or they're still thinking about positions and titles and survival and lack, and despite whatever, God's bringing manna from the sky, he's bringing water from a rock, he's healing, all these different things. Don't be shocked when people go, well, I don't know. It's like, you don't know. Mm. Just realize they haven't waited long enough.
They're not ready.
Not ready yet.
And I think about when Jesus told the disciples to go wait, when he was leaving and ascending back to heaven, and they were waiting on the Holy Spirit. It was a larger group that actually went to the upper room. There was a larger group that was intended to go, but only mm-hmm. a few of them, I believe 120,
made it. Yeah,
were actually the ones waiting. Mm-hmm. And just waiting with the right motives, like you're saying, actually produces the right results.
Yeah. I mean, he appeared to, like, what, 500 people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the power of God came.
Yeah.
And it's all she wrote. I mean,
thank God they waited.
Thank God they waited.
He said, wait. Don't do nothing.
Don't do nothing.
Wait. And so often we move when all of a sudden we got some pride in our life, whether it's self-excitation or fear of loss, instead of just waiting for peace. Because when you wait for the Spirit's lead again, you get that peace and that single-mindedness, the self-sacrificing willingness to do it just for him. Then at this point, that's all you have left. You don't have this other stuff left. And I think about this. You know, it reveals our motives, whether they're self motives, whether they're satanic motives, whether they're God's motives in our heart. It reveals any mixture and purifies us when we wait on the Lord. I think about Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
A boy needs his mother's guidance. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and psychologist Dr. Kevin Lehman says that when adolescence comes along, a mom's influence on her son only increases.
Let's go back to age 10, 11, 12, that weird, awkward age. And a boy in your school likes you. What does he do? He hits you, yes. He pushes you, yes. He makes a fool of himself with two or three little boys in front of you, yes. He pulls your hair, yes. Now, who better to teach that little boy about how a boy should treat a young woman than you, Mom?
There's no doubt that boy-girl relationships are complex, but Mom, you can help your son make sense of it all. Teach him to practice being a gentleman. Model how a woman should be treated, because you're ultimately preparing your son for marriage. You'll find more trusted advice about the mother-son relationship at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it, so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool, because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you, to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me also is Pat and John. We're talking about, you know, waiting on the Lord, and in the break, you know, John and I was just speaking about an assault, which is just very appropriate, you know, to understand how to wait. The dangers of not waiting and waiting on the Lord.
We were talking about Saul, and Saul was, it was a period of time in I believe it was in 1st or 2nd Samuel, 1st, where...
It's in 3rd Samuel.
3rd Samuel.
I don't think our listeners are like, no, is that the... That's the point? Okay.
Well, it was time for sacrifice, and only Samuel was... you know, authorized by the Lord to offer a sacrifice.
And Samuel was the priest.
Yeah, he was a priest. I mean, he's waiting, you know, do things in order the way God says. And King Saul was getting ready for battle. Mm-hmm. And he was getting anxious because the time was coming. And
he kept on trying to save himself, protect himself. I mean, it's always about self.
Right from the very beginning. Right. He never got really dealt with, you know, because of self-preservation. He was hiding in the luggage. Yeah. When God was calling him to be king, that was
there was
a clue.
There was no waiting period. He went straight from looking for his father's donkeys. Then we'll go King James right there, to all of a sudden finding out that he, with no waiting period.
No waiting, which means no process, right?
No process.
And so he's always been on a rush, thinking about himself here. Mm-hmm. And he was thinking about self-preservation. And what are these people going to, the soldiers going to think about me? This is not going to be good. And so he begins to hurry past God's timing, God's protocol, God's authority.
He didn't think that the minister was moving fast enough for him. Okay. He didn't think that the pastor was moving fast enough. You know, mm-hmm. He didn't think Samuel was...
That'll preach.
Yeah. He's like, all of a sudden now you're hearing the one who taught you how to hear, now you're hearing more than they're hearing.
Right.
And because all of a sudden you got yourself a little authority here. Mm-hmm. And remember, he was the one that laid hands on Saul and told him what the Lord said, that you're going to be
the king. Right. And the thing is that he actually wasn't hearing. He was hearing for himself.
Yeah.
It's a big difference when you're hearing.
You can't hear. No. You can't hear when it's like that. And people say you can't discern for others and yourself at the same time. You got to let yourself go to be able to hear from God.
That's it. So with that, he decides that he's going to throw up this sacrifice and burn the sacrifice.
Because he was waiting on Samuel, you're saying, to be able to get there, the minister, to preach his message for everybody. And he said, like, get something, conjure something, quick, get the
cut
Bible
and paste,
out.
Cut and paste.
You cut and paste, get
Google,
some
Google,
stuff.
Google, there's a scripture there somewhere.
That's not a vision, that's a graven image. You didn't hear from God.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
And so he's putting this whole ministry together in a hurry, because he knows that what's really holding this thing together is God, not his kingship.
Yeah.
He knows. That's why I take a priority of everything. Mm. So, you know, all of a sudden he's going to take that role.
Takes upon himself. And just as he's burning up the sacrifice, Samuel walks on the scene right on time. You know, God's never too late. He's always right on time.
That's right.
Might not be your time, but he's always on his time, God's time. And Samuel says, what are you doing? What are you doing? And so Saul goes into this, you know, poor, you can't even say repentance. It was just a poor, woe was me, sorry.
Well, it's sort of like being called. I mean, yeah, yeah. Being called, it's you know, it's totally different.
Well, the Bible says that godly sorrow works repentance, but some people are just sorrowful that they just got caught. Yeah, right. He just got caught.
Right.
And so he's, you know, going through the motions here, and he's clinging on to Samuel's robe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the robe rips.
Right.
And Samuel prophesies, today the kingdom has been torn from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone should have caused Saul
right.
to rip his own clothing and mourning and be in sackcloth and start repenting.
But he stayed in his own mind, his own agenda, and he immediately kicked into the next promotional mode, self-promotion mode.
Right? Yes. Samuel, can you come and show the men that you're with me? Can you pray for us?
Can you stand with me on the stage while I talk to everybody? And how many ministers do an injustice by just standing there when they should have, the word's been delivered, this is it.
That's it.
And he wept. I mean, Samuel wept. It was tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, and...
But why was he weeping? Was he weeping for himself or was he weeping for God? I mean,
Samuel. Samuel wept for this. It was a disaster.
Yes.
Because they rejected God's form of government and they wanted a king.
Mm.
And so God gave him the king, which ended up being Saul. Mm. And yeah, so he didn't wait. He didn't wait. And it was the fear. I mean, this guy's building statues to himself, big ones to be able to, you know, freak people out and go, oh, he's a big man. And the bigger the statue, the smaller the man.
No doubt.
And that so goes in alignment because you think about when Jesus had a multitude around him. Because what happened at that point, like you're saying with Saul, that all Israel, including the army, was gathered up. But all of a sudden they began to leave. And this is a big test for you when your family looks at you because you're standing with God and they go, we're going to leave you. Or your employees say, listen, we're not going to be a Christian business around here, you know, and they're going to leave you.
Mm-hmm.
Or your constituents,
uh-oh,
Mr. Politician, Mrs. Politician, said they're going to leave you. Or pastor or apostle or prophet, whatever, you know, your ministry over with people. And they say, listen, this is how it's going to be. We're going to be out of here. And they start to leave. Listen, they're God's. Every man is accountable to God. They're not yours. And so don't leave God trying to make them accountable to you. Just watch what happens. And so they all started leaving. That's when he started panicking. He took over the priestly duties. And he all of a sudden became Pastor Saul.
Oh.
You know, Pastor Saul. And, or P.S., by the way, my king rules over. That's what at the end of the letter was P.S. But Jesus was walking, and his ministry came to a point where, you know, the multitude is following him. And so he says, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't know what he's saying at this point, but he comes out and he begins to say the deep things of God is like, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me.
Right.
I mean, not only was he not concerned about losing the crowd, but he wanted to make sure they heard thoroughly the reality so they can enter into the kingdom of God. And they just said, this is hard. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And they started leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is the test. When you speak truth and people start to walk away, if you speak God's truth, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. Mm-hmm. Understand that when Samuel was being rejected as the leader, he thought, he was in his tent. He was upset about it. He was crying before the Lord. The Lord says, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me.
Get up.
Yeah, and Jesus says, listen, that when people reject you, they don't only reject you, but they reject me, and they reject the one that sent me. And so you got to get yourself out of that picture here and realize that when you tell people the truth of God in love, you're doing your best to deliver it, not mess up the message, and quite often we can. But he told them, and they began to walk away, just like what happened in regards to, you know, Saul. They're walking away. But the difference is Jesus didn't do what Saul did. He just honored their decision.
Mm.
That's just a power. I'll tell you something really freeing.
Mm.
Give people a choice and honor their decision, you know, and pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be really surprised. It's a lot easier to walk with those who agree.
That's right.
And then, of course, you know, Peter's looking at him and his disciples are saying, you know, everybody's going, you know, And Jesus doesn't say, please don't leave. Oh, my goodness.
Please stop, stop,
oh, my
stop.
Goodness. No, no, no.
You want another chair? Do
right,
we quick, can we
right,
get you?
Right. We got a new PowerPoint now, the thing going. And
we'll
the
tell
thing.
Them only two songs. And only got, two songs.
And we got an app. It's an app. We got an app. We're, you know, we're going. We got, look at the new moose on the leaders. Anyway, so the, anyway, he looked at Peter and he says, well, what about you? Are you guys going to leave me talking to his disciples?
Mm.
And Peter said, where else can I go? Because you have the keys to eternal life. And that is your test. It's going to be your test. When you're waiting on God, and Saul was supposed to wait for God to show up in the spirit of what he's doing through Samuel, and by him waiting for Samuel, he was waiting on God. And
there's no fear of God there. You're not running away. There's just no fear of God because
right.
you have all the answers.
You know, and quite often, as we talked about yesterday, under incubating faith, that you can know what you desire. Hey, for example, Saul wanted everybody to hang around,
mm-hmm.
but he can jump ahead of a burning passion and permission and peace from God,
mm-hmm.
and he just begins to speak something out and do something, and it wasn't the right timing yet, and it would need to wait for him to arrive. Well, you can want to be somewhere. You can just know in your heart, I'm supposed to be there. That's where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be at this workplace. I'm supposed to be at this ministry. I'm supposed to be doing this and doing that. But the whole thing is, you're going to have to wait on God. You're going to have to wait for things to unfold in your unique life and your unique situation and your unique journey in life and be encouraged in that and know that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength.
Mm-hmm.
They will renew their strength. This is what this Isaiah chapter 40 Isaiah 40.
Isaiah 44, 41?
Yeah.
God will renew our strength. He will renew our strength. When we wait upon the Lord, he will renew our strength and bring us to the point of total dependency.
Right.
And trust in him.
So waiting on the Lord, and that's what we're talking about, is just learning to wait on the Lord. And Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord, think about it. They that wait upon the Lord, Saul didn't want to wait.
Mm.
The people didn't even want to wait for Jesus to explain that his eating his flesh and drinking his blood meant obeying him and eating his teachings and walking them out. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Are you weak? Are you tired? Maybe you need to wait. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You're going from a weak place to a strong place to a flying place.
Mm.
And they shall run, think about that, and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio. You're listening to this. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy, but I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation.
And what it is that you have a pagan generation, but it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope, and God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, we're just talking about waiting on the Lord. When I think about waiting on the Lord, I think about, you know, Clint Brown's waiting on the Lord. I mean, think about it, as you're waiting on him, just waiting on the Lord. Just a powerful, powerful thing.
I'm waiting on you.
Just waiting on the Lord.
Waiting on you. Patiently waiting on you. And I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I seem to find my strength while I'm waiting on you. I am waiting on you. Waiting on you. Patiently waiting on you. Lord, I seem to find strength while I'm waiting on you. Say it one more time. I am waiting on you. Lord, I'm waiting on you. I'm patiently waiting on you. I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I seem to find my strength while I'm waiting on you. Why I will choose to wait. I am waiting on you.
said it's mine, I will choose to wait. Cause I'm waiting on you. Yes, I am.
On you.
Lord, I'm waiting.
Waiting on you.
Patiently waiting.
Patiently waiting on you.
Upon the Lord, He shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings, yes, they will,
yes,
like the eagle. They shall run and not grow weary, no. They shall walk and shall not faint.
So important. If God put Israel in the wilderness for 40 days and he goes, ah, okay, 40 years. I mean, that shifting of that, understand that he's okay with that.
That's right.
When he allows Moses to do 40, to do 40, 40 years alone and 40 years with a people, understanding that, and he waits until Abraham's in his 90s. I mean, just everywhere you look, he just waits. I mean, think about it. Methuselah was 900 something years old.
Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just like a vapor.
Yeah.
And waiting reveals these things. Allow God to reveal these things in your life. You don't want to move on like Saul moved on without waiting.
Mm. Oftentimes we say we're waiting on God, but God is waiting on us to wait on him.
Right. So he can reveal on our hearts to us.
Mm.
Which our hearts, when our hearts are revealed to us, sad to say, you know, we got to stop being shocked. We just got to understand that means we need a Savior. We need God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cool with that. We just need to know that that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about where Jesus was told by Satan, hey, you bow down and worship me. These kingdoms will be given to me. I'm going to give them to you. It's not about, you know, self-exaltation. Where Jesus was given the opportunity to not pay the price on the cross and walk away and call down legions of angels. He went ahead and laid down his life. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for his friend for the second phase of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And think about it. All of eternity, God had waited for this moment for his son to be offered up as a sacrifice. And Jesus was with him before the beginning of time as they were making man in our image.
Mm.
And they waited to this perfect moment at just the right times, Romans talks about, where they offered up Jesus. As they waited for that one moment. And we can't wait? What? And Jesus waited to the time he was 30 years old before he even started his ministry. And his ministry on earth was 3 years long. Maybe you just got to wait for a certain point to all of a sudden for your 3 years to be a bright light. Mm. That, by the way, his 3 years we tell time by.
That's right.
Somebody once told me that you can't rush a masterpiece. The things that are value require patience and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, that's what God's doing. I mean, we're at that place of waiting like that. God could provide the solution, the salvation, day one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Day one. But he allowed time to pass, because he was more interested in what he was doing than on the speed in which it happened, in which it all unfolded.
He wanted to give Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. And they had not waited long enough to deal with things in their hearts. So they didn't even want to take this land flowing with milk and honey. That represents God wanting to take us to heaven to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's preparing for us. And hey, we're going to have to deal with some stuff in our life. We're going to have to allow our faith to be tested and not to shrink back and to go through these processes. And waiting again, you know, has to do with like being a waiter. You're busy about the things of God, but God's unfolding things. So when David was anointed to be king, he didn't go buy him some business cards and tell everybody, hey, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. She's a pastor. He's a pastor. I'm a pastor. No, he just went back and tended the sheep.
That's right.
That's right.
Just tend to the sheep. I mean, you're not, that's, if you're thinking about titles and you're just, it's, it ain't done yet.
Mm-mm.
Ain't done yet. And so in the context, of that, David went back to tend the sheep and waited. He waited. He was anointed king, but he went back to the father's house and served. And even when the king invited him in to be worship leader in the castle, he didn't even bring it up. He just played music. And he enjoyed that. And he honored that because he knew that that was God's anointed. And he wasn't going to lay hands on God's anointed or his opinion. He was just going to honor what God has established already. He was already king. He just waited. Mm-hmm. And even though things got rough, he still waited. When things got cut off and he's actually, you know, he's still waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it waited so long that all that left was spirit, because in the beginning, he may have walked in and said, okay, I got this thing, it's going on. But by the time that he was ready to be promoted to be king of Israel, they had to come and get him.
Mm.
Like God came and got Moses. Mm. And that's how you know there's only spirit left.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because he's like, he had no problem. And the very same ones that rejected him now comes like, we always wanted you to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because he knew that it was of God, he just said, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. So I encourage you, wait on the Lord. You can never go wrong waiting on him. Well, today's wisdom moment comes from Proverbs 24:15 through 16. Proverbs 24:15 through 16. It reads, "Do not lie in wait like an outlaw against a righteous man's house. Do not raid his dwelling place. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity." See, there's a difference between falling and being brought down by calamity.
Mm.
Quite often, they see believers that love God, but they fall. They fall to a sin. They fall into something. I like what T.D. Jakes says. You haven't seen me fall in public. Publicly, I've already fallen privately. We've all sinned. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that.
Mm-hmm.
But calamity is totally different. Paul speaks of this reality of the battle that exists between our desires and our abilities in Romans chapter 17, the sin nature and our godly spirit nature that's inside of us. He says that the things that we want to do, that he wanted to do, he finds out that each time he goes to make these great plans, he's reminded of the sin nature that's within him as it begins to wage war against the law of his mind. He says that because of his sin nature, though he makes good godly plans, and as a righteous man, at any moment, outside the grace and the empowerment that comes from God through Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross of Christ, he can fall to sin. Christians are not sinless. They're forgiven. There's a big difference. Paul goes on to say, though, "The things that I do not want to do. For that is the difference between a righteous man who receives the gift of righteousness by grace and the wicked man." You see, he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. And if for a moment he did, he realized he didn't. often because of our sin nature, like Peter, when he took his eyes off of Jesus and focused on the storm, that he was walking on top of the water. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it. All of a sudden, he became to be self-focused and fearful, and he took his eyes off of Jesus. What happened? He began to sink, and he cried out. And he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus reached out his hand, and he saved him. Just like Peter, when he began to sink, and he cried out and reached out his hand, Jesus reached out to save him. When we fall because we take our eyes off of Jesus and his finished work on the cross and place them on the storms of life or the mountains we're believing God to move in our lives, we end up sinking down in our sin nature. Maybe self-absorption, self-focus, you know, whatever. There's a whole bucket of opportunities, which we were once walking on top of. But you know what? Just like Peter, we cry out. We cry out to Jesus, and he rescues us and forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, he says, if we claim to be not a sinker, if we claim to be someone who doesn't fall, if we claim to be someone who does not sink, who did not fall, who does not sin, he says, we make Jesus out to be a liar. But he also says that if we confess our sins, if we cry out, I've sinned. Mm-hmm. My sin nature, I've given into it. He says he's faithful and just and will forgive us from all the sin. He'll rescue us from our fall and purify us from all the dirtiness and the uncleanness and the unrighteousness. And he goes on to say, and if we claim we have not sinned, we have not fallen, we make him out to be a liar. And his word has no place in us. So what does this all mean? Those who walk with God, who have received the gift of righteousness spoken of in Romans chapter 5, fall to sin. But they understand the gift of God, that Jesus is the high priest who is able to empathize with our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. And now he's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us so that we can go boldly before the throne of grace and cry out and say, help us, like Peter did when he was sinking in the water and Jesus reaches out his hand. But the wicked man stays in their sin, wants to sin, doesn't seek the Lord's mercy, grace, or forgiveness, and even justifies their actions and say, this is not sin at all. Today's wisdom moment, Proverbs 24:15-16. Do not lie in wait like an outlaw against a righteous man's house. Do not raid his dwelling place, for though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at vfntv.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.